Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Today on Monday morning mindfulness, welcome to the Female Solution. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks, host of Higher Learning. So we're going to get some learning today, baby, because we're going to the motherland. We went to Costa Rica last night, and this morning we're going to South Africa, Zimbabwe. And it is Monday, the last Monday in the month of February, and we are celebrating life and living. Because someone somewhere didn't wake up this morning, and you were one of the ones who did. So, pat yourself on the shoulder. No, giving thanks to the Creator. It just means we got work to do. Okay. Happy Earth Day, birthday, born day. If you're celebrating a birthday today, we're celebrating it with you. And let us always keep in mind the sick, the shut-in, the incarcerated, and the non-believers. Because, baby, you got to have faith if you got nothing else in this world, because it is some kind of crazy going on out there. That's why we have to prepare inside, so when we go outside, we won't be upset by all the chaos and confusion. In the news, voting. officially tomorrow. You can vote today, but tomorrow is D-Day. So be sure and go out and vote for the City of Chicago mayor for the City of Chicago. Now, you know it's going to be a runoff. There's 9, 10, 11 people running for mayor, and only one is going to get it. So go out and vote. I'll be voting first thing in the morning. I'm not doing any early voting. I want to be there on Election Day. Plus, I'm lazy because it's right across the street. Don't tell nobody I said that, all right? Okay, so you be sure to get out and vote. Today's topic is Reflections and Connections, Chicago to Africa. And our first guest is in memory of Marva Jolly Pitchford, my cousin, who made her transition some years ago, but we remember her because her anniversary is today. She is the artiste. She taught at Chicago State University on 95th and King Drive for years, and now my girl Troy Tyler is teaching there as well, because, you know, her Kent the Cool Gin hooked her up with that, and it's just such a blessing to know people and to be among the land of the living. And speaking of living, the second part of the show will be with Amadilo Cousin, filmmaker, community activist Amadilo Cousin, and he's a former team member of the Higher Learning Network. So this is going to be a very interesting show. If you're listening online, be sure and join us on our YouTube and Facebook channel, Higher Learning TV Show, and on my Instagram pages. Comments is Grand Rising, our executive producer, beautiful queen, and looking forward to going to Africa. Yes, sir, we are going to the motherland today. You didn't see, we went to Costa Rica last night, going to the motherland. So start saving your pennies. No. Not your pennies, your dollars. Like, they cost money to go to the motherland. But, you know, you mess up money on everything else. If you want to do something, you'll find the money to go, right? Okay, right. Alrighty. Be sure and watch the Higher Learning TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19 and 24/7 on the World Wide Web Higher Learning TV show. And be sure, check out my page on Instagram, Zelda Speaks, and Zelda Speaks to You. And I always have to talk about our Instagram project. Excuse me, it's not a project, it is a lifestyle, because we are doing the work that is necessary. Back in the day, we had something called a village, and this is where we took care of each other. And I am taking care of that which I have been assigned to do, and that is the homeless. That is my mission, because my little brother, Douglas Robinson, was murdered there some years ago. 4 years ago, as a matter of fact. And we did a dedication to him last Saturday. And this is our YouTube page, hln.homeless.project. And this is what you can see when you go to our project page. I will pull that up bigger so that you can see it. We deliver butane, so that's what you see in the butane. And they were so happy to get it. At your own leisure and see the butane. I'm always asking for donations for butane, because butane is what keeps them warm. And you heard him. He was like, oh, wow, look what we got here. We got butane. We're going to be warm tonight. That's like, wow, something so simple. They only cost $9.87 for a pack of two 16-ounce canisters, and those canisters keep them warm for 8 hours. So it's like they have... they can keep warm overnight and then partial the next morning. So I want to thank you. So keep those donations coming in. And they are tax deductible. And you can send them to, this is our information here, Cash App is Zelda Speaks, the number 2. Vimo, Higher Learning Network, NSP, and Zelle. You have to email me because it's my personal one. I'm not giving that out over the air. And PayPal, they won't let you get two, so I have to use mine. But for PayPal, higherlearningnw@yahoo.com. And do remember, all donations are tax deductible. Okay? So thank you so much for sharing and for caring. And that's our morning news. Be sure and stop by diabeticdonut.com to get your free download on how I reversed type 2 diabetes. Now, everybody somewhere is probably a diabetic, and they just don't know it because we sit inside all day and we sit on these computers and we're not active enough, so that sometimes causes problems. But problem as it may be, there is a chance to reverse type 2 diabetes, and that's what we do here. That information is available to you. And now it is time to check into traffic. If you are going out this morning, honey, it is a hot mess. I mean, the building is shaking, so it is. Traffic and Weather is sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. If you are an entrepreneur or business owner and you have products or services, you can barter. You can buy whatever you need through with barter dollars, IRS Treasury recognized, because you're wasting money if you're buying things, if you're going to big box stores, Office Depot, Home Depot, Walmart, Target, wherever you go. You can buy anything you can buy at any other store, you can buy it at iTex. And you don't pay cash for it. I'm like, why is everybody still paying cash for it? Some people are waking up. So you be sure and mention the promo code ZELDOLE. Thanks to Richard McGee, always giving honor to the ancestors for making this possible. Okay, those who came before me who made my way possible. So, as we take a look at the traffic in the traffic and weather, it's going to be in the 50s today, almost 55. Can you believe that slight chance of rain showers? Oh, I'm looking out my window, honey. It's raining everywhere. Moderate to heavy and a few storms today, honey. That's heavy to me. Strong winds falling through, winds up to 50 to 60 miles an hour. That's heavy. Heavy, heavy rain today. And low down tonight, down into the 20s. Metro and CTA, there are no reported delays, but at Western and Ogden, there's a flood. So if you're heading out, don't go in that direction. You will be sadly disappointed. Inbound on the Kennedy, it is your Monday morning mindfulness madness in the traffic. It is 31 minutes in, 21 out. On the Edens, it's 24 in and 19 out. On the Eisenhower, now you know it's always another story on the Eisenhower. It's 45 minutes inbound, almost an hour, and it's 35 minutes out. If you're headed to the airport, you do want to allow yourself some extra travel time. On the Stevenson, it's 30 minutes in, slow at Harlem, 24 in the reverse. On the Dan Ryan, it's slow from 111th to 95th Street. And it's 27 in on the Dan Ryan and 19 out. 21 in on the Bishop Ford, 19 out. There's a ladder in the middle of the street on the Bishop Ford on the inside. So, yeah, that's what I see. Be aware of that. You might want to slow down. On Lakeshore Drive, it is 12 minutes in and 11 minutes in reverse. And that's the traffic and weather sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. And hope you enjoyed that this morning. Because right about now, it is time for your Monday morning mindfulness word of the day. And, excuse me, if you do not take the time to go within, that's what this is about. Monday morning mindfulness is your time. Your quiet time, your special time to do that which is necessary in order for you to have peace when chaos comes your way. And that peace comes from Mike House today. The word says, Monday, February 27th, 2023, God's love never changes. Now, you know I need to make this just a little bit bigger because that is awfully small, and I need to enlarge this so I can see the words. That's what happens when you read from your phone, right? It's a little small, so now I can remember. There we go. God's love for us never changes. Whether we have indisputable faith or wavering doubts, God's love for us never changes. When we feel all alone, not sure if we can go on, we can still know that God's love for us never changes. We have to build and keep our foundation strong. You see, it does not matter how hard trouble winds may blow, or how much darkness covers our night, God's love for us never changes. I know there will be times when my faith will be tested. I know challenges in life will want me to change my thinking, to adjust my belief, but I am aligned with divine order. I am one with God, in spirit and in truth. I am assured that everything is working together for my good because God's love never changes. Thank you, love, in me, through me, as me, and around me, through the Christ within. And so it is. And we believe, and we have believed, and have known the love of God has for us. God is love. And he who dwells in love dwells in God. And that's taken from 1 John 4 and 16. Excuse me. And that is your Monday morning mindfulness meditation from Mike House. And if you want to be included in those Monday morning mindfulness reminders, all you have to do is text us at 219-644-699-2114. I don't use the number often. I don't say it often. It's printed, but I don't say it. But I will find that and pull it up for you. But in the meantime, in between time, you know what time it is. It is time for our Monday morning mindfulness meditation. So you know what that means, right? It is time for us to get quiet and go within. So as we prepare for our Monday morning mindfulness meditation, let us sit up straight, feet flat on the floor, or whatever you need to do just to get comfortable. Because this is the time that we spend going within. So before we do any of that, let us be reminded that our thoughts will wander, as they always do. And we simply take a deeper breath to remind ourselves, excuse me, that there you go. To remind ourselves of the greatness within, and let us just become still. So let's just take a deep breath. Inhale through the nose and exhale through the mouth. Let's blow it out. Leave some of that tension. Alrighty, so let us get started. That is not the right one. This is the right one. One way and then stretch the other. Part of the body back to the shoulders and the arms.
Thank you.
you are afraid of usually.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. and get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African-American Psychic Trauma.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Thank you for joining us back here on the Female Solution and the Higher Learning Network TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19, and 24/7 on the World Wide Web. So be sure and check out our YouTube channel. While you're there, YouTube and Facebook, Higher Learning TV show, be sure and like, share, and subscribe. Please do that while you're there. Thank you so much. And beside me is my cousin, Marva Jolly. She used to live in Hyde Park. And we would go over there like the first of the year and eat black eyed peas and greens. Oh, that woman could cook. Well, you know, cooks were in my family. I forgot to get in that line, but we always had a good time and just, you know what family used to do? Just get together, just call. Hey, what y'all doing? Come on over today. I'm cooking. I was like, yeah, I miss those. We miss you, Marva. But we don't miss the work because we have the work. Marva is somewhere on a planet, another planet somewhere, doing what she do. And I have lots of art, but most of it's too big to pull. So I'll Google it and you'll see it, but you'll see some of her artwork here. This is one of my favorites. I keep straws in it and sell down the straws. Or just little knickknacks in it. This is one of them. And, well, this is two of them I got. Two different ones. You can't see them. And these are the small ones because the other ones are huge. And this is how, let me take this out. I should probably put that down and let you see exactly how she would take her fingers. You see that? Can you see that? How she would take her fingers and do that. She's, let me show you the video. And then you'll know what I'm trying to show you. Because you know, she grew up down south in Crenshaw, Mississippi, but I am the one who didn't grow up there, and I had an experience when my mom died. This was my mom's sister, so I went down there to live with her because my brother was in Vietnam, and that's a whole nother show. So just let me show you what this is all about so you'll know exactly. I can talk less, and you can see it, and you can understand it, okay? So this is in our hometown of Crenshaw, Mississippi.
Growing up on a farm in Crenshaw, Mississippi has a tremendous amount to do with the fact that I work with clay. Because as a child, I spent my life in rainy days making mud pies. I have always been a mud person. I have always liked to work with clay, with mud. My mother told stories. We told stories. When I discovered clay, I decided, I will just draw some stories on the outside of a pot.
Marva Lee Pitcher Jolly was a ceramicist who used clay to tell stories that had spiritual power, a power that came from her experience as an African-American woman.
She was a down-home, down-to-earth person. She carried that mother wisdom. We all accept it. We share an energy.
Some called her Mama, some called her Professor, but I simply called her Marva.
Wasn't she a social worker?
Yes, she was.
I remember her telling that story about how she just decided, I want to be an artist.
She was in her 40s, if I remember correctly, when she made that decision.
People thought she was a little unhinged, to quit a job. job.
Of being an artist.
Right.
Her motivation was to empower people.
We're going to roll this way.
Marva helped to empower a generation of young people as a ceramics professor at Chicago State University.
I work at a university that is not important to a lot of people outside.
But it was to Marva.
And Marva really promoted a strong work ethic with her students.
Oh,
I think they appreciated that, too.
Take your clay out and let's begin. Oh, yes, you're ready.
Community matters to Marva. She mentored artists throughout the city and the world, including me, and artists like Doris Hawkins, Gaster Gage, and the women of Sapphire Crystals.
That's right. One day Marva said, you know, I've always wanted to do a women's show. So she contacted the Southside Community Arts Center, and we did all of this stuff to prepare for the show. And the guys are upset because they're saying, why are you all having a show for just women? You know, and you should be having a show with us. And so I have to say that the irony of men saying that is just Sapphire Crystals is taking on a life of its own.
Marva was central to the founding of Sapphire Crystals in 1987, a collective which remains active to this day.
Marva had a lot of clout with people. We showed at Elmhurst College, we showed at Prairie State College, the Norris Cultural Center, Black, White, and Blues at Woman Made.
We have done 20 to 24 shows over the years. We really took care of everything. It was collective and cooperative from start to finish.
And Marva would get on our case. All right, y'all, we ain't come up with something. We got to do something. She saw things very clearly and saw when we all needed to move. You know, okay, yeah, but now we need to move.
She just kept us going.
This is a story that some members of my family had at one point.
Marva's strong will came from a place of loss.
My mother's death, at 9 years old, I knew that the decisions that I made about what I was going to be was going to come from me, because I didn't have a mother to talk that over with. It is me I want to be proud of and satisfied.
She stayed connected to her Mississippi roots and digging deeper, traveled to Africa to put her hands in the mud and the earth with Zambian master potters.
This is the first time I have ever worked on the floor.
Having a friend like Marva really helped to steer me.
We have a right to define who it is we are and who it is we want to be.
She was a cheerleader.
And everybody had a Marva story. You could go all over the South Side, the North Side, wherever, and everybody has a Marva story.
When I die, and those old folks say, well, Marva, what'd you do while you was on Earth? Yeah, I tell them, I got it done.
Yes, she did. She got it done, y'all. And I am honored to be a part of that. Oh, wow. What happened? Did everybody just disappear, including me? Reflections and connections. And that is what we were talking about this morning. That's my cousin, Marva Jolly, who made a transition. But they're celebrating her anniversary today because she taught at Chicago State University as a ceramics professor. And it's so funny, that video you just saw was done by another filmmaker, Shuli Ashell. And I met Shuli Ashell at some networking event, and she was talking about this lady named Marva, and I was like, Marva who? She said, Marva Jolly. I was like, that's my first cousin. My mother and her mother were sisters. So, am I saying that right? Anyway, it's been a long time. So when I found out, I went to Shuli Ashell's place, and then she would come to CanTV, and, you know, we'd talk and yada, yada, yada. I had no idea that a documentary had been made on where I grew up. Well, I didn't grow up there. I lived there for 2 years when my mom passed in a little town called Crenshaw, Mississippi, about this big, from one block to the other. Everybody knew everybody. That's why I still talk to people today, because you got popped upside your head. Somebody speak to you, and you didn't speak back. Oh, you was in trouble. So that's why I am still speaking to strangers that I don't know. But this young man that I'm bringing on board, he is not a stranger. He is the filmmaker, videographer you name it. His credentials are just so long. Community activist, I can't even think of them all. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Amadilo Kuzan. Thank you so much for being with us here today, Amadilo.
Oh, it's my honor, Zelda. Thank you for keeping that good word out there. We need it badly.
Well, it's people like you who continue the process of getting the word out, and thank you for getting out the word out about Zimbabwe, because otherwise I'd have never known anything about this project. So, and then, you know, last week, Pastor Stevie Robinson was on the show. I'm like, are you kidding me? You might be a brother. I didn't know who my daddy was, so he could very well. We got to have that conversation. But anyway, he was on the show last week, and he came on talking about.
I always wondered if you guys were related.
Yes. Like, if I know who my daddy is, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. So we're going to have that conversation again at some point.
All right.
But anyway, I was just honored to be a part of the Chicago to Africa experience with Zimbabwe and underwater experience. Now, I know you're a filmmaker, so you're always all over the place. And let the record show, this is the young man who did the film for my little brother, Douglas Robinson, who was murdered in Tent City, and I'll pull that up later. But right now, if you've got anything you want me to pull up while we're talking, you can send that to me via email, and I can send that up when we go to commercial break if you want to. But anyway, just tell us how you got started in this project, Chicago to Africa.
Well, it was quite a journey, I must say. It started technically, I would say, when I had the great honor to go to Venice, Italy, in November of 2021. I was working with Blacks in Green, Naomi Davis.
Yes.
She had developed a design for a house called House's Garden. It's a four-flat building, which is energy efficient. It's revolutionary. And she partnered with a internationally renowned architect named Michael Sorkin, who unfortunately passed away from COVID a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But the design for the house won an award, and as she was able to go to the award ceremony, I was able to go along. It was in Venice, Italy.
Oh!
Yeah, I had a chance to travel internationally for the first time.
Oh, what was your first trip?
Well, it was my first trip.
Wow.
And I've had four since then.
Oh, wow. You're a globetrotter now.
Oh, yeah, it's in my blood. I can't help it now.
And that's, I need you to say that again, because people need to hear it, especially those living in America. We think as America is the bomb.com, which it is, but you need to go outside of this country to see the rest of the world. You really
do. Yes, you
do.
Yeah. Because we have to understand that America was built on stolen land, stolen labor, and there's a whole lot of stolen stuff here. So naturally, people want to be here because this is where a lot of great stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it hasn't always been acquired in the most ethical way, but it still is a lot of good stuff here, and people want to be around it.
Right.
Chicago is a beautiful city, even though it has
it
a lot of challenges and struggles.
Yes.
World-class city, beautiful city, and we should all be committed to keeping it that way and making it even more fair and equitable. But then that's another issue for another time. But I did get a chance to see other parts of the world and to be able to have that perspective. And as you say, Zelda, I would encourage everyone
to
put it on their list to get out of this country at some point so you can just get that perspective and understand that there's a whole lot more to the world than just these 50 states that we live in here.
Yes.
So, yeah. But I got a chance to, after I left Venice, I met a young lady there who is an engineer, and she was doing some...
you met a lady engineer. Don't just run right past that now.
Right.
How many do we know? I can count them on one hand and still have four fingers left.
Oh, yeah. No, this is she. And you know, it's really interesting because, you know, Africa is one of the youngest nations, the youngest continents, I would say.
Okay.
And so it has a lot of potential. Africa's growth rate is one of the highest in the world in terms of its economy as well as its population. And so it's going to be a major player on the global scene It already is, but it's even going to, it's still recovering from colonialism and a lot of the other things that have happened to it over the years, including the transatlantic slave trade.
Yes, sir.
But Africa's coming out of that, and it's reemerging in a very powerful way. And it's a lot of work to be done.
Yes.
There's a lot of challenges, but then the opportunities are also incredible. So I got a chance to go to Uganda. That was my first trip to Africa.
Idi Amin.
And,
Idi Amin. That's the first thing that we think of.
I know, that's the first, and unfortunately,
Idi Amin.
And of course, you know, when you think of Idi Amin, you think of this, you know, tyrant, dictator, and all this kind of stuff. And none of these international leaders are perfect, and no one is saying that Africa doesn't have its issues. But at the same time, the leaders in Africa are no more good or bad than the leaders anywhere else.
Thank you.
They're struggling with unique problems and unique challenges and doing the best they can in many circumstances. But at the same time, they're facing a lot of outside interference and a lot of outside, you know, exploitation, which also affects the development of the countries. Which brings us to Zimbabwe.
Yes.
My time in Uganda, I was able to make some further connections with the continent. But my real connection with Zimbabwe came when I was able to work with Pastor Stevie Robinson and Preacher Head Ministries. Stevie had went over there almost 10 years ago to preach the gospel and to help to build up a ministry there. And he experienced just how tough the access was to clean water. He talked about how he had to wash up in a bucket, no hot water.
For 3 weeks.
Three weeks. And this is a man who is definitely fashion conscious.
Yes, sir.
So I know that was a real culture shock to him. And he came back telling this story and wanted to go back and help some of the villages that he experienced to get access to clean water.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, he was able to raise money to build some wells there. But unfortunately, COVID hit. So he had to just sit on the money until it was, you know, international travel had opened up again.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to go in October of last year. We spent 3 weeks there, and we were able to help improve the water systems in 5 villages in there.
Not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5. How many people live in one village?
In the first village we did, there was 2,000 people in that village, and they all had one stream of water. It was water that was flowing out of a rock, so the water was it was a clean stream of water, but it was about 2 miles from the village.
Mm.
So every day, men, women, and children had to walk those 2 miles to this stream with buckets, fill them up with water, put them on their head, and walk the 2 miles back just to start their day.
Mm-hmm.
Then the kids would often have to go off to school, those that could go to school,
mm-hmm.
because the educational opportunities are limited at this time.
Right.
So they had to walk almost 5 miles to the school after the 2 miles to get the water, then come back home that evening and walk back again to the stream to fill up their buckets again for the evening meals and washing and other things that were needed, you know, that water was needed for.
And we're complaining.
So it's tough. It's a tough life, but they have become conditioned to it. They have just accepted the reality that this is what they have to do. But fortunately, we were able to come in, and it cost about $5,000 per well for us to do this work.
Which is nothing.
But to them, it's a huge sum of money.
Yeah.
You know, because the country is facing sanctions right now, which is due to the fact that Zimbabwe was formerly known as Rhodesia, which was named after
mm-hmm.
Cecil Rhodes, who was a white European settler colonialist,
mm-hmm.
and the small white minority in that country owned all of the best land. They set up electrical fences to keep indigenous people away from the best land.
Mm-hmm.
So that if they came on that land, they would touch this fence and be shocked. Literally, some of them would actually die just trying to get access to their own land. So when they won the War of Liberation, they had to fight an armed struggle for many, many years. And eventually they were able to force the Europeans out of their country, but a lot of the white farmers were still owning the best land. So eventually they made them move off their land so that the people could start to benefit from their own land. And that's when the U.S. imposed sanctions on the country. And now they're still suffering from that. It's been over 20 years. So a lot of the poverty that the people are facing is due to the fact that these sanctions are preventing the economy of the country from really developing. There are some internal struggles as well in terms of the fact that because the money supply is so limited, you have people that are exploiting the situation for their benefit. And so the people are suffering. They're caught in between. And so, you know, we really just came in with a heart for the people to want to improve the water systems where we could. It's a small, you know, effort when you think about the hugeness of the country and the needs. But it's still, I mean, the people were so grateful and just so thankful for that small improvement in their lives. I mean, it just made such a big difference to them. And we want to go back again. We're raising money now to go back again to work on. The government has already set aside 10 other villages that they want us to work in to provide this service to. And we are looking to add 15 more to that. So we want to go back and do 25 more locations, and we're raising money for that now in order to make that a reality.
Well, I am honored to be a part of this experience because I, too, have washed up in a bucket of cold water, so I know what that's like. I mean, I didn't have to walk 2 miles going and coming, but I did have that experience, so that's why my heart went out when you sent it. I was like, oh, wow. I told you that morning somebody I sold something, some kind of musical instrument somebody gave, because people are always giving us stuff to sell for the homeless and our other projects. And somebody gave me some money, and I said, okay, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with this yet. So I just put it in my bag. And then when I got there and saw the donation basket, I was like, this wasn't for me. I realized that this money was just, I'm just the vehicle for this money to come through.
Amen.
And I left it. And
yes,
that is the attitude our listeners and viewers here on the Female Solution and the Higher Learning Network TV show are. We know that they are the kinds of people that have hearts and that they could miss a Starbucks or a nail or a haircut or something like that. So we are very grateful that we have that kind of community with us, because it is the community. You know, village back in the day, everybody looked out for everybody.
That's right.
But now we have taken it to another direction, but now we're bringing it back in this direction to keep this village, because, yes, we are our sister and our brother's keeper. And the young people might not know until today, but they know now. But they know now. So what are some of the ways in which people can get involved, and how would they do that?
Well, of course, financial donations are very welcome right now. We have a fundraising page on givelively.com.
GiveLively.
And you can get access to that by going to the website, preacherhead.org. That's preacherhead, one word, .org. And there'll be links to the fundraising page on there where you can give your financial donations. We accept any donation. You know, we like the brothers on the subway, pennies, nickels, dimes.
Right.
Anything can help.
Because it all adds up.
Yeah, it all helps. It all helps. But we do want to, you know, get those who do have the means to be able to, you know, give more. If we get 100 people to donate $1,000, that's $100,000 right there. Of course, we know that, you know, others will not be able to give that much, but whatever you can give, whether it's $150, $20, $10, $1, it all helps. I mean, because, again, the people that are there are so much in need for any type of help, and that, and your dollars go a long way there in Africa.
Yes, a very long way.
Yes, you know, because the exchange rate. So, yeah, so if you go here, there's the Clean Water Project page here, and there's some videos on there that, you know, I was able to shoot while at there. I'm still editing them up. We have, I did two of them. There's three more sites, plus some of the interviews that I did with people, and just it was just a beautiful experience. The people are just so full of life, and as you can see in these babies' faces right here, they just, they had never seen that pump with water flowing out of it in their lives, because that pump had been broken for years. And we were able to come in and make that happen for them. And it was like just such a beautiful experience to share. So that you can see a little bit of it right here.
Yeah, we get a chance to look at that before we go to our first, next commercial break. And you filmed this. You were walking with them.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yes, I was. And it's a good little walk. This is a little bridge. Well, it's a makeshift bridge over this stream, but that's the only way to get across.
And the journey goes on, ever forward, never back. Amen.
That's Pastor Stevie there, who led the way. And this is one of the families that were that we got to visit.
And there's something cooking out in the sun. Talk about off the grid. I love it. I want to go and spend.
Yeah.
I want to go and spend a night in the community and have that, that walk. Cause you know I walk on the treadmill, so I think I can do that.
Oh yeah, it would be definitely. People are very warm, very welcoming.
I don't know how many times I might have to rest, but. So you can go and watch that video on your own at preacherhead.org, because we've got to go to our commercial break here. And while we're doing that, you can go to preacherhead.org, and also you can send this video to someone in your database and let them know Reflections and Connections, Chicago to Africa with filmmaker Amadi Lukasani is on. And you send that information, and I'll share.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out, and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19. My guest today is Amadilo, filmmaker, community activist, historian, brother around the way who making it happen, who making things done, and make sure we know what we need to do in order to continue the concept of the village. And that's the title of the show today, Reflections and Connections, Chicago to Africa. What a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. We got some comments here. Viata Tiny Village House says, Buenos dias! I don't know what Monstar Bien, but I know Muy Bien, I know what that is. Yeah, she's in Costa Rica. We went to Costa Rica last night. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we in Africa this morning. We just traveling all over the globe. And I think she said, I think it's the same time. If it is, Viata, if it is the same time, let us know what time it is. Oh, and this sister here, oh, my God. This Zen Wombs, for those of you who don't know, go to ZenWombs.com. This is a powerful sister here. She says beautiful.
That's a powerful name, I must say.
Woo, baby. There's an energy in the air that we may or may not be privy to, but you are now. Because you're on The Female Solution, and this is The Female Solution, I promise you, and the Higher Learning Network. People are so tired of taking medication that is only putting a Band-Aid on a wound. This sister is in Arizona, and this sister, if you want to feel something different in your body, if you want to shift in the energy in your body, you don't like what's going on in your body, and even if you do like what's going on, if you want to have a different experience of a healing, you know, healing comes from the mind because the mind tells the body what to do. That's why I'm so enamored with our African sisters and brothers. They go through hell, trial and tribulation every day, all day, and still come out with a smile. I digress. But anyway, Zen Wombs is an experience, and I've had that experience, and I continue. I listen to, she has an audio, she has lots of programs, but she has an audio program that you listen to every night, every day, every night. I listen to it. You're only supposed to listen to it 10 minutes. I listen to it for 30 minutes. I overdo it sometimes. But anyway, the process is to help shift the energy for whatever is going on in your body. All I can say is go to YouTube. See for yourself. Don't believe nothing I say. Go to YouTube and see for yourself. And go to Zen.
You know, we are energy. You know,
yes,
our body
we are.
Is full of energy. And there's frequencies that
yes.
Is, you know,
yes.
Everything that we do.
And they don't teach us this in school. They're not going to teach it to you in school. You've got to get it on your own. And you went to the motherland where they practice it every day, all day. Beat me down if you want to. I'm still going to walk 2 miles and get my water, and I'm still
right.
going to be okay.
That's right. That's one thing about it. You don't see a lot of obesity there.
No, you do not.
The problems, the chronic things. That
no.
You see in the Western world.
You don't see people on canes and in wheelchairs. There's something to that.
Yes. All that walking and all that.
Yes. Yes.
So even though they appear to be struggling, and there's struggles, no doubt. We're not trying to paint a fantasy picture.
Right.
But there are certain pluses that go with that type of simple lifestyle.
Yes.
You know.
And good health is one of them.
One, yes, indeed. So.
Because I look at how what the Western world sees as poverty. That's not...
Teach.
It's something that we don't know nothing about because we have been indoctrinated since birth. This thing we call it TV, television, tell live vision, tell their vision, which is a lie because they want you to think... You ever heard of Operation Mockingbird? Please don't believe nothing I say. Please don't. Go to the internet and look up Operation Mockingbird. We have been programmed by the CIA... Was it 1941, I believe it was, when they came up with the idea of television? Because, see, when we were kids, there was television. If you only had radio.
Right.
And when TV evolved, it's like, oh, they can't get us to sit around the radio anymore. Then they get us to do the visual thing because when it's visual, it's really more concrete because we're
okay,
that kind of
yeah.
creature.
And now, especially with these things.
24/7.
And you see little bitty baby working these things like they are...
Like it's nothing.
It's fascinating.
2 years old. And I get them to teach me things that I don't know. I was like, really?
I know. And
yeah.
It's a big attitude if you try to take it from them, you know.
Ooh, crying, hollering, screaming. You see it on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere else, all of TikTok, all the other social media. I mean, these kids are clowning. It's not just the children. It's the adults. We can't.
Oh, yeah.
When we leave home,
yeah.
if we don't have a phone, we feel naked. What's wrong? What's wrong
right.
with that?
It is. It's addictive. It is.
Yes,
a very
it is.
Thing. And because so much of your life is
in the phone.
Yeah.
So
I mean, phone numbers, contacts,
to-do lists. Yes.
Everything. It's
everything.
Amazing.
And you lose that phone, you are out. You in trouble.
Man. Yep.
I've lost one, and I said, I will never, and you are never supposed to say never. I'm saying I will never, not ever, solely depend on anything outside of myself.
That's right. That's so important. And it goes back to the point you were making. You know, when we, you know, look at the material abundance that we have here in America, it's a certain kind of wealth, but it's not the only kind of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And in
mm-hmm.
fact, it has a lot of issues associated with it that are very detrimental to our well-being.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, we have to be very conscious of how to balance that out. Like you were saying, a lot of the people that we look upon as wealthy, they're compiling all this wealth, so what? They can go to an island somewhere and get away from it all.
Yes, sir.
Like, you know, it's
yes,
like, what's
sir.
The point? Just Just cut out the middleman.
Go straight to the motherland.
Keep your life simple. That's right. Keep your life simple and natural and connected to the Creator. And you got something to work with.
One of our sisters of the microphone, Maika, lived here in Chicago, and she left Chicago. I know everybody thought she was crazy and moved downstate Illinois to a farming community, a real community. And I was like, wow, that sister did it. We went down to the farm. There's a blueberry. No, that was a blueberry. Well, yeah, there was a blueberry farm down there. We went and picked blueberries, and I love blueberries, eat them every day because I know of the antioxidants and all that other good stuff. And we don't do that. It's like we got to get children to the farm. So that should be their first experience so they will know what it's like. Oh, my goodness, we've got some calls here, too. Let's take some calls. If you want to join the conversation this morning, it is 8:15. We are speaking with filmmaker, philanthropist, community activist, world traveler, Amadilo Kazan, and he is sharing with us Project Head, the project in Zimbabwe where we are helping. You notice I said we as a community are helping, and we will continue to help by going to Project Head.
Preacherhead.org,
and I just had it up here. There it is right there. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak as we go to the phone line. Area code 706-202. I do believe that is Baba Kwame Sunhorse from Georgia. Grand Rising, Baba Kwame Sunhorse. How are you this morning?
I am very grateful, and thanks for asking. And Grand Rising to you, Sister Zelda, and to your guests. And I sit here in the stolen lands of the Muscogee Creek in Eatonton, Georgia, and I sit on my porch and I can look out at this lake, which is part of the Oconee River, and understand the power of water, because water holds memory and consciousness. And the part that the brother is sharing, and that our ancestors and the people that occupy the motherland now are connected to the water, and the colonizers that came in to take, like Cecil Rhodes, you know, and Leopold, and all the others that came in there to do what they're still doing to this day, is taking Mother Africa's resources. But it's most important because we're dealing with it here and dealing with what went on in Flint, Michigan, what the people there, we're organizing with the people in Jackson about the water, because water is life. And we have to understand, we take for granted, basically, because you can walk in your kitchen or bathroom and turn the water on. You have your, you know, let water run until you get tired of hearing it running. Or, you know, we take it for granted, where these ones that my brother is helping to dig wells, because it's important that we understand how valuable water is, because that is the next big economic tool that they're going to use against us. First was oil, and then came the electricity. Now it's going to be water. If they could figure out a way to harvest the air, they would sell it to us too.
But they're now
looking at how to pollute it, because that's what we had with the oil spill. You had the uranium fire in Oak Ridge where they made the H-bomb at. So we're looking at all of these things that are happening that are attack on our mother and the four elements in which she gives us to sustain life. I was sent you this piece on AFROCOM. And I don't know how many of our people know about the military bases that they're doing in the continent. And what they're doing, they just finished doing February 13th to the 23rd. They were doing over 1,000 of our troops from AFROCOM training the different African villages, Senegal, Dakar, Kenya. And they're now establishing a foothold of control, because everybody, all of these countries are now back and focusing, getting the last resources that they can from the continent.
Wow.
One thing one thing I just wanted to share. The most 18 to 30-year-olds, the most 80% of the world's 18 to 30-year-olds is on the continent of Africa. And what we're looking at is who
Julius
Nyerere. Right,
because,
and that's why when Julius Nyerere became president of Tanzania, back him and Kwame Nkrumah and all those, what he said was, whoever educates your children controls your future. What we're doing and what we're seeing is here in America, they're on the continent. That time that grandmothers and grandfathers used to have with the children and helping to direct their lives, we now don't have lap time. We give our children, the grandparents now give the children laptops. And this is the most dangerous thing, as we were given the television. Now they're given the laptops and iPhones and iPads, because what we're going to have is a generation of Wi-Fi addicts.
We're already there. Can't leave out the house without your phone.
That's right.
So what does that say?
Everywhere you go, people got their heads down on that thing.
It's 24/7 programming, and we don't get that because we're too far into it now. So at some point in time.
But I think we also have to understand that this is a new technology, and we have just as much ability to access it and use it as the oppressor does. Just like these videos I was able to do in Africa, and the video you showed earlier that was incredible with the sister Marva, your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are able to now use this technology in a way to tell our own stories. And in fact, I have a workshop coming up this month, well, March, next month, where we're going to be talking about how to use cell phones for social change. When you look at these recent unprecedented incidents where police officers who have murdered people are actually going to jail, none of that would have happened without a video.
Right.
George Floyd, Walter Scott, Ahmaud Arbery, so many others, Tyree Nichols. None of these cases would have happened unless there was a visual record of the crime that was being. And even then, they're going to try to tell you that the person who was murdered was actually the perpetrator.
Right, in the wrong.
They're going to try to tell you, oh, he did this. When he was 5 years old, he took another kid's truck or something. Anything to make that person seem like they deserve to be killed.
Right.
But these videos are still so powerful that they have still been able to get some of these cops to actually be held accountable for these murders, these cold-blooded murders that you see right before your eyes. They're still going to try to tell you it's something else. So the videos are definitely a powerful thing. And even though there's a lot of garbage and a lot of trash out there, it's like looking out a window. You don't control what goes past your window. You can look at anything out there, but you can decide where you want to place your attention. And this is what we got to teach our children. You can't keep them away from this stuff, but we can help them to discipline themselves so that they can make better choices about the kinds of stuff that they expose to.
I'm so glad you said that.
And I thank you because it's very important how we use. We have divine intelligence and we have artificial intelligence. The part of what you're speaking to is being able to take the techno-spiritual and create what they're now doing. A lot of our children are being put in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. So we can write programs, because what they did was they got rid of Jim Crow, but then they wrote it in, as they call it now, the Jim Code, because they have the algorithms and the coding that creates the new form of racism and mental slavery. So what we're needing is to have our own to create the programs and the algorithms that are conducive to identify us and who we are as a people on the planet. And I say our is because we're the original universal race. That's what we have to begin to claim as ours.
Right. Out of Africa. All out of Africa, that's for sure.
And I am pulling up on the screen your website, Amadila, and in a few minutes I'm going to pull up the information that Baba Kwame Sunhorse, is this right, Owen Productions International?
Yes, that's
yeah.
me.
Okay. And I'm scrolling down, and I see video production, graphic design, and workshops. Is the workshops in here?
Yes,
Okay.
There's none posted on the site right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is kind of a new website that I'm just kind of building out right now.
Okay.
But I've been teaching workshops for, it's been over 40 years now. And it's been incredible watching the technology change over the years. These are some of the groups that I've worked with over the years, and I made a conscious decision to focus my attention on grassroots community-based organizations, and I'm so glad that I have, because I've been close to, you know, the Hollywood scene and some of these other mainstream media operations, and you know, they have a part to play, but boy, if I'm going to put this kind of work in, I want it to be for my people. I want it to be for something that I really care about and that I really have a heart for. And it really has made a difference for me, because this stuff is a lot of work. Zelda, you know well, to keep a show, a platform going and keep regular guests and information flowing, it is a real serious commitment. And plus, being in the public eye today is a great challenge.
It is.
You have so many haters out there.
Woo!
And I just want to, you know, see you get caught up on some stupid stuff. So you have to really kind of understand what you're dealing with and be very thoughtful about what you say and how you present yourself. So it's not something to take lightly. You know, everybody wants to be famous or be on reality TV. I'll be telling them, look, you don't know what you're asking
you
for.
Sure don't. You don't have a clue.
Man,
you think that's what you want to do.
But
no.
Weak-hearted.
You think that's what you want to do. No. And that's so sad, because I heard someone say, well, what do you want to do? Ask a young girl, what do you want to do? I want to be a movie star. I was like, wow, you don't even know what you're saying. You're saying
you
what you heard.
Have a clue,
you don't have a clue. Is this the right workshop, Chicago Film Workshop? Okay.
Yeah, this is for the workshop that's coming up, the community film workshop. They have a variety. This is Margaret Cable.
Is that Margaret right there?
That's Margaret. That's my girl. She's been doing this. In fact, the Community Film Workshop of Chicago is celebrating its 50th anniversary this
50
year.
Years!
50 who, years, man.
Who knew?
Yeah.
50
and,
years!
I mean, they have trained some of the top filmmakers in the country. They have won awards with documentaries and all kind of other projects. And one of their greatest gifts is their workshops, and they have ones for advanced filmmakers as well as for those who are just kind of getting into the field. And the workshop that I'm going to be doing is geared toward young people, 19 to 25 year olds, and teaching them how to use social media and cell phones for social change. You know, when we see these videos of these police murders, that's one thing, because just catching something that's happening spontaneously and can use it to try to get justice for something that already happened. But we want to start getting these young people to start proactively. How can you start telling the story? Don't wait for a tragedy. Think about a message that you want to say, and we'll help you put it into a video format. Just using your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these young people, they're very talented. They got some really creative ways to use their phones. We just want to help learn the storytelling part better, so they can define issues they can sort through all of the confusion and the fake news that's out there and how to determine what's real and what isn't, and being able to put together their own ideas into a story that really can make some changes in their community. These young people today are fierce.
Yes, they are.
Oh, I love them. They're just doing some amazing things. And it's so sad because the few little knuckleheads that's out there killing and robbing and doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are just wayward, and some of them are just out there, and they just bad, and they need
somebody to love on them. That's what they need.
Yes, they do.
They ain't getting
no
love.
They do. And a lot of them are hurting.
Yes.
You know, they didn't ask to come into this world. You know, this is the world that was already there, that was created for that, full of violence and hatred, and you got these fools on here now talking about that guy who does the cartoon, who was, you know, basically said, I hate black people and I don't want to be around them.
Right.
I mean, people are emboldening now where they don't even care about being just exposed as racist. It's almost like they're proud. Like,
yeah,
I can call you N-word and so what, you know. And it's like, okay, well, we'll see how far that goes.
Right,
you know?
But it is
a serious business. So these young people are coming up in this atmosphere. And thank God for hip-hop, too. That's another thing. Hip-hop has done more to bring people together from all over the world, from every continent. That music genre has got these young people to look at each other in a whole different way. And I believe in the next couple of generations, we're going to see a real change in the society.
Yeah.
I think this generation is just so full of the residuals of racism and hatred. It's going to go through some pretty rough and ugly things.
Yeah.
And we already see it happen.
Yes, and they
are
not
playing. There's so many guns out there. There's so much, you know, just bullying and just arrogance. And so much just confusion. It's going to take some real upset and some real rocking of the foundation to change people and get them to where they can actually start to live like human beings again. But I think in this next couple of generations, we're going to see that change take place. You know, it's going to be rough. It's not going to be pretty. And we already see some of the casualties that are coming along with this, but that's how it's always been. I mean, ever since we came to these shores, it's been a rough struggle, and we just have to be tough. We got to be able to, men, women, and children, all of us, you know, we all play a role, in all races, too. This isn't just about a black thing. We, black people, got to take responsibility for our own struggle, but we're not in this alone, you know. There's conscious people in every community that's trying to make a change, just like we have traitors in our community.
Yes, sir.
You got some black people that are more supportive of white supremacy than white people.
Yes, sir.
And so it ain't just about the person's color, how they look. You know, like Dr. King said, you got to look at people's character and what they bring into the table.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, anybody that wants to stand up for righteousness and do something positive, I'm for them. I don't care how they look.
Thank you.
You know.
That's not important.
But I'm down for my people more than anything, you know, because that's what I know. That's who I am.
Right.
And we need it, you know. Black people need this help, you know, because anytime something evil's going down, it's okay to lump black people together and say, oh, all black people this. Well, okay, when something good's coming in, okay, let's do that too. Let's say, okay, black people deserve this break. Black people deserve, black people are owed reparations. You know, you stole from us. You took these things. You abused us, abused our ancestors, continue to steal from our community, and you owe that. It doesn't. And people will say, well, if white people ain't never going to pay you that. Look, that ain't even the argument. It doesn't matter. If somebody stole $100 from you, you don't go around saying, well, I'm never going to get it back.
Right.
No, you might say, well, look, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm not going to sit here and act like I got to stop my life until I get that $100 back.
Right.
But they still owe you that.
Right.
It don't matter whether they never pay you or not. They owe you that, and you have a right to demand that money back that they took from you.
Yes, you do. And we have a right to go to our next commercial break because it's 8:33. We're a few minutes behind, so stay close, and we'll be right back with filmmaker, philanthropist, community activist, organizer, Amadeela Kassam. Thank you so much for being here today. We got just a little bit more time, so stay close, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. CJ of Valona Health, where we combine orthopedic manual therapy and neuroscience to treat the whole person. Health tip for the day is keep it moving. Doesn't matter how, just keep it moving, doing something you enjoy. Walking, dancing, rolling on the floor with your dogs or kids, really anything. The body craves movement to keep the bones, joints, and muscles happy. Even our mental health and internal organs and digestive system rely on our movements. Thanks for being a part of the Higher Learning Network on the Female Solution.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
We're on air everywhere, online. The Female Solution, the Higher Learning Network TV show. I'm honored to have our guest today, Brother Amadeela Kassam. Now, you know I got to ask you, Kassam. I have never asked you before. I don't think I have. If I did, forgive my memory. If that name sounds Cuban.
Kassam, yeah, probably has some origins in there. I haven't really studied the origin of that name. That was my father's name.
Mm-hmm,
you know, his family's from New Orleans, and
okay.
You know, got connections with Santo Domingo and Haiti. So I've been trying to trace that family line there, but I just haven't been able to really.
I knew it was some Caribbean flavor, some island flavor, something in there somewhere. You could just see it in you, and plus the name too. I was like, how long I've been knowing him and I never asked this question? Okay, so let's ask it now. Okay, we need to take a few more calls because at 9 o'clock, Naima will be joining us for the after show. Baba Kwame Hunt, Sunhorse, your line is still open, but we're going to take a few other calls, and then I'm pulling up that video that he wants us to see. 336-350, you're live on The Female Solution, and HLN TV, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Mama AZ. Yes.
Thank us, family. Grand Risings, everybody. Okay, greetings to your guest. I'm thinking, I kind of tuned in late. I'm thinking, I'm out here in stolen land in Arizona, Cochise County, Fort Huachuca, Sierra Vista, Cochise County, stolen land. Now, I'm here kind of by myself, and I need to start reaching out What do you suggest? Should I reach out to the colleges for help from young people? I know the U of A in Tucson has a film department, but I haven't been able to connect to somebody there that can help me. However, I'm here in Sierra Vista, so what suggestions as far as reaching out to get connected would you share with me? And Sister Zelda, somebody you said in Arizona, a woman in Arizona, where here in Arizona is this lady that can change your life?
Her name is Dee. No. Sika. Zenwombs.com. I'm not exactly sure exactly where she is, but I can send you her information. Mama AZ. Let me type it in here. Zenwombs.com. And anybody that is watching, you need
to. In fact, Mama AZ, what is it you exactly want to try to accomplish?
With my phone, I'm in the process of gathering information for my life, my history, everything, because it is a lot, and I need help in cataloging. I mean, it is a lot. Brother Kwame has a connection with me, and he knows part of my journey, and this stuff. What I have accumulated in the travels, the medicine circles and everything, it needs to be cataloged. I cannot leave the planet. I'm getting my vision boards together now, and I would like to gather with somebody that can help me catalog this.
Okay. I am not sure the lady who is in Arizona. I don't know her background as far as it relates to audio, video, but I do know that
I got it.
Mama AZ, she has water therapy, and if you're looking at the screen, I'm at zenwombs.com. This is the sound healing meditation. It's water healing meditation. So you go to this website and you will see all of this and read it. So please go to zenwombs.com. The healing water therapy, Mama AZ?
I will share that with you offline.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, so I'm not. She can help you, but there's another sister in Arizona who may be able to point you in that direction. She's from Chicago. Her name is Dee Daniels of the Women's Podcasting Network, I think it is, and she can possibly help you with that. So if you will give me a call at 12 noon today, I will see that. I'm sorry. 12 noon. I will see that you two connect, but you got to call me because, you know, my memory sometimes it evades me. So
when you say 12 noon, it's going on 8 o'clock here.
Oh, it's 8:42 here.
Okay. So 12 o'clock your time.
Yes. Oh, whatever time you call. I'm editing all day on Monday, so I'm here. So feel free to.
Okay.
Okay, Mama AZ.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And thank us. And thank you, sir.
All right. Take care now. Wish you well.
Thank you.
Mama AZ has a fascinating story. So, and we'll talk about that. That's why I pulled this site up for the sound healing meditation water therapy. I cannot tell you the things that are going on in my body, because you won't believe me. You have to experience it yourself. It's an experience. I can tell you all day long, but you know, people have their preconceived notions of what healing should feel like.
Right.
So you just do your own homework. Like I said, don't ever believe anything I have to say. Just do your own homework. But I do want to pull up this link that Baba Kwame Sanhor shared with me, and it's United States Africa Command. Baba Kwame, as it relates to the motherland, is your mic still open? Baba Kwame Sanhor, unmute yourself.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. I pulled it up. The Africa, where is it at?
Afrocom. Afrocom,
yes.
Is United States military bases that have been put on the continent of Africa. And what they're doing is that they're establishing relationships with the people of the continent, but also they're looking at how they're going to utilize that connection as being one of being able to get resources, like the brother was saying, that they put sanctions. And so these are the things that we have to begin to understand. And the tool is like what Melvin Van Peeble, and I sent you his YouTube on Classic X, where he documented all of the eras that we will portray. And what we're looking at is how is this going to be portrayed with United States military forces on the continent and all of the issues that are going on with our people there. In the part of, it's a new form of recolonizing. And what we're looking at is how can we put boots on the ground and be able to keep documentation of it. And that's where my brother is looking at how to teach the youth how to utilize these phones as a tool for our advancement, as a part, instead of it being a destructive, can be a constructive tool to be able to show what is the progress or what are the regresses that are happening on the continent, in the streets of Chicago, here in Georgia. But these are ways in which we have to begin to give guidance, because we're elders and we're getting ready to become ancestors, and being able to document those elders and how they lived and what they did in their life is very important. So I see what he's sharing, his vision of the seven generations to come. And this is very important that we, as right now, elders help, like you're doing, by giving him a voice on Female Solution, that he's able to talk to the world, because this is a worldwide web, and be able to give voice to those who don't really understand how to utilize this tool, and being able to build that which is in them that they came on the planet for. So I thank you for, you know, doing this, and Naima and those that are on Female Solution, and my brother, and being able to give guidance to the youth for the next generation to record that which is going on right now, today.
And I thank us for just being a vehicle for this information to get through, because, you know, my ego sitting on my shoulder say, yeah, I'm all that in a bag of chips. No, you're not. You're a vehicle, baby. You're just a channel for the information to get through, so don't get it twisted. And what I'm looking at here is the video you sent me, Baba Kwame, from, is it Malcolm X, classified, narrated by Melvin Van Peebles, a must-see movie.
No, it's Classified X. Well,
classified.
Melvin Van Peebles was one of the first filmmakers back in the era of what we call black exploit films. But he created Sweet Sweetback, Badass Song. But he did that with his own budget. That's where Earth, Wind,
yes,
and Fire came from, by doing the soundtrack. So what he's documented is from the time of Birth of a Nation, the portrayal of our people in certain roles through Hollywood that gave us this negative image, And now what we're having is now we have Wakanda, we have, you know, African Queen, we have African King, that we're now being portrayed and being Africa is being shown. But we have another part of Africa that was showing that was about the trade. Okay, we were more than slavery. We were kings and queens, and we need to begin to create those films and documents, the rebuilding of Africa. My daughter just came back from Egypt, and she went to what they call the gem, which is the fourth great pyramid that they've opened up and taken all the mummies and all the statues and put into a warehouse of theft, calling it a museum. And how many of our children know about that?
Yeah. Well, our children are these filmmakers that Amadilo is training, they will know about that because he just saw the video and he probably already knew about it, but I'm sure he will
share
that.
Yeah,
that's
a powerful piece that Melvin Van Peebles put together. Thank you for sharing that, brother, because it definitely drives home the point of how they have deliberately tried to create this very negative perception of ourselves. So.
And it even goes further than that, how they're still controlling the narrative because the museum that's been built in Washington, D.C., it starts with slavery. Okay, well, what about before slavery? So that lets me know those who put up the money for the museum, those are the people who, those are the colonizers. They paid for it because otherwise, why wouldn't we start with the truth? Why would we not start with the history of black people being kings and queens? And I want you to know that.
Right.
I want you to think you are subservient.
Right.
You know,
and the part
where they took us on a tour of the construction site of the African Liberation Museum, which is part of the African Liberation Village that they're building. It's a huge complex, and they're still raising money for it, but it will be the largest repository of African culture in the world, and it will has a large area dedicated just to the diaspora. So it's a very ambitious project, and the Swedish government already put up $20 million to get it started, but they're still trying to raise money, and they've got some incredible ideas that they're pulling together, and they actually want to get some artifacts about Bronzeville and Bronzeville's history to include in the museum. So our people are doing some incredible work around the world. Hopefully more of these people with deep pockets will start to get a hold of some of these projects and begin to really put their money behind them. And because that's what it's going to take, you know, all the great ideas in the world are just great ideas until you actually get the money and the resources to make them happen. Just like this well you see here,
these
people had been, that well had been out of operation for over 10 years because the people just couldn't raise the $5,000 to get it fixed.
And I look at
Michael. Here we were, I mean, $5,000, that to us is like, that's a couple of months rent for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were able to come in and do this small thing, but it made such a big impact. I mean, it was it's powerful. What a few well-organized people like Naima and the Female Solution can do to to really make a difference. And I'm just, I tell you, it keeps me encouraged and inspired because sometimes it's easy to get discouraged when you see this big, huge mountain of problems in front of us. But it's all in how you look at it.
Right.
So we have to, you know, continue to keep each other encouraged and lifted up and do what we can right where we are. And believe me, never doubt the impact of these small things that seem small to us but can make a huge difference in the life of someone who just never thought someone would come and really serve them in a loving way.
I can't wait for the next trip. But in the meantime, in between time, we are joined by the executive producer of The Female Solution. That would be Naima Latif. That's my Arsenio Hall introduction.
Well, it's been so exciting watching this show, and I'm so grateful that we're joined by my favorite videographer.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Naima. I take that as a very high compliment.
Welcome to the club.
Amazing work. You know, I mean, you've been the eyes and ears for so much that has happened, not just in our community, but around the world, literally.
In fact, you guys, I'm going to have to jump off because today we're dedicating a plaque to Harold Lucas.
Yes.
At the Chicago Bee Library.
Okay.
So I have to set up for that because I'm going to be videotaping that today.
Okay.
But it has been a real pleasure to share this time, and let's stay connected. Let's keep building this network. It's really, you know, the it's not the future, it's the now.
Yes.
So,
right. The now.
Yeah.
And,
it's the now.
And,
so.
And thank you for sharing with us, Harold Lucas, because I didn't even know he existed until I went to Blacks and Green event. I know that now. So I want to thank you for being a catalyst in that and helping that. And I'm pulling it up. I'm trying to find it before you leave. A very special tribute. It's from the Chicago Crusader, the Sun Times. Oh wow, it's all over the place.
It's actually meant to be kind of a private event because the room is pretty small where they're going to dedicate the plaque.
Oh.
So we're not looking for people to necessarily come out.
Oh, okay.
But I will videotape it, and
okay.
We're going to post it. And hold up Harold. Harold did such great work preserving the history and heritage of Bronzeville, which recently was granted as a National Historic Heritage Area by the U.S. Congress. It's a major thing that is going to really bring a lot of dollars into the community over the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to, you know, continue to prepare. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
Godfather
Brownsville. Harold was fierce, boy. I tell you, he was not one to take lightly, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Following in his footsteps as well as many others as well.
Well, thank you for following in his footsteps and continuing the work that needs to be done because it can only be done when you step to the plate. So we appreciate you. We thank you. And I look forward to being maybe a chaperone on one of those events because I want to see what the young people do so I get some clips and put it on the High Alert Network TV show.
You know what? It would be great to get a whole contingent to do a mass trip over there at some point. And that would be fine. That would be nice to try to organize something like that.
Yes, yes. Look forward to it. So
who knows what the future holds?
Yes, sir. Let's stay in touch so we can make that happen. Did Naima just disappear? Yes, she did. But anyway, she'll be back because we're doing the after show. But I've got to play the closing because she's like, Val, you're going over to fight. I need to play the closing. For those who are watching and listening online, please press 1 if you're on the switchboard. If you want to talk on the after show, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. Press 1 right now because I'm playing the closing. And after 9 o'clock, you cannot push 1, so you need to do that right now. Thank you so much. I'm going to leave it as ever. Thank you. Peace and
hair. We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archive www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
to our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsanida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Episode in the great episode
of human history, and every group of human beings, and we got to know this as well, every group of human beings at one point in their history has had to learn that painful lesson of what happens when you get so greedy and desiring to dominate others or take from others or abuse others. You destroy everybody. Every group on the planet has learned this lesson. We just remember ours because it was so recent in our history. But everybody's had the same lesson. And so once we understand that when everybody flourishes, everybody flourishes, then we'll stop trying to figure out ways to create class differences and I'm better than you because I have more things than you have, because that doesn't work. Because if you have more than somebody else has, then you can take from you, and then therefore you create theft, and then you create insecurity, and then you create poverty. So we should know that as a human family by now. And because we're living in these wonderful times where there really are no barriers, there are no walls, there is no separation, everybody's just a plane flight away, a few hours away, we really are one village. And so the intelligent thing to do is to help our neighbors, even if they're across the water. Why would we want anybody to be able, why would we want anybody to be suffering for something like lacking clean water? Why would we want that? Why would we want to see that when we have the power to alleviate that suffering? And when, like we've all seen, when you create a situation where you have an overabundance of something and you're wasting it and people don't have enough of it, they resent you and then you become enemies. And then people feel like, well, if you won't share, I'll just take it. And so you end up with war. So we can avoid all that. We can avoid creating enemies. We can avoid creating hunger, poverty, distress, disease. We can avoid all that because we now have the tools we need to keep people healthy, to create access to drinkable water, to nourish the land so it can give us the food that it gives us for absolutely free with a little bit of nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for anybody on the planet to be suffering. And if anybody suffers, eventually everybody's going to suffer. That's the lesson we've been learning through this episode of human history. So now that we know better, we have the opportunity to do that. Somebody mentioned the technology that we have. And everything that you have is either a tool or a weapon, depending on your state of mind. If you have a tool that can help you show the world, what's happening everywhere, so that people can be made aware of where there's a need and they can go and help, that's a wonderful tool. But if you use that same tool to give people images that create fear, sadness, or anger, and they're motivated to go out and harm people or themselves, then that tool becomes a weapon that's used against people. So are we going to use these wonderful tools that are handheld computers, there are handheld video cameras, there are handheld communication devices? Are we going to use these tools to help, or are we going to use them as weapons to hurt? Because it's the same thing depending on our frame of mind. These handheld computers can produce video, can produce live action video, can tell wonderful stories, can inspire people, can be used as education tools. We can have schools right here on our cell phone,
yep,
sending people to a school online to teach skills, to teach information, to share knowledge. This is a wonderful tool. We can use it to liberate people from their ignorance if we have the right mind. So now that we have all that we need to change our conditions, there are no victims on this planet, nowhere. There are people who are either choosing to work together to solve their problems or people who are choosing not to work together and keep suffering from their problems. That's all we have. So, which one do you want to be? You want to be part of the solution, or do you want to be part of the problem? We all have the same power to choose. So thank you, Delta, for bringing an inspiration today. What we're going to do on our website, we're rebuilding the Female Solution website to include all these wonderful things we talked about, and we're going to have a page of projects, links to a lot of these, such as Preacher Head and Water Project, links to where people can go to their donate page, and we're going to keep encouraging people to give. I mean, you have money that you blow every day. We all do. You know, that
it's America.
Coffee that you really don't need, or that extra bag of fries you really don't need.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
We all have money that we basically blow without even thinking. Like it was said, those few dollars add up, you know.
$1 there, I think it was.
$3, $5 here and there.
$1
a week or however often you can think, but it makes a difference. And eventually we're going to get to the place where we just do things for people that we can do, and we don't need money to do it. We're going to get to that point. But first we got to change the heart so that we do things because we care.
$1, one U.S. dollar in South African rand, which is, I believe, what they use in...
Yes, South Africa, rand, yes.
$1,800. $1,800.
So can you imagine giving $1,800 to help somebody get clean water?
$1.
It's worth the sacrifice of that extra donut that you didn't need.
Right. Okay. Causing your blood pressure to run high.
That's right. That's right. So
clogging your heart up. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the people who you help, there is no words for the reward that comes from just giving. Because in a real sense, you are giving to yourself. We are all connected. We are all one. When you give to others, you give into yourself. You're changing the planet. You're changing the vibration of the planet. Look at the joy on those children's faces. So can we do some things that create joy here, that same kind of joy? Look at the joy that came from just having clean water, just being able to pump the ground and make clean water come up, the joy that that creates. So if we have children that are angry, what are we doing that has turned their joy into anger? Because children are naturally joyful until you cause them pain. What are we doing to the children in our midst that has robbed them of their natural joy? And what can we do to return them to the state of joy? Probably something just as little as pumping some fresh water. So, like you were saying, Zelda, we need to take them out to the farmland.
Yes.
And let them experience the joy of picking berries and seeing food grow out of the ground.
Yes.
You know, it's so funny. You think something like farming is little, but when you've been in the city and you've never really understood that the earth feeds you for absolutely free.
Yep.
You don't know, food doesn't cost money. All you have to do is just nurture Mother Earth a little bit, and you will get fed a delicious meal. This last summer, my sister, when she came to visit, and I planted sweet potatoes for the first time. I didn't know anything about picking potatoes. I never planted potatoes. So we had several sweet potato plants, and we went out in the yard and said, we're going to dig up these potatoes. They should be ripe right now. They should be grown. And it was like digging and finding buried treasure. We would dig in the ground and find, oh, sweet potatoes. Oh, they really are down there. I mean, we're so excited. We're like those little children. we had never experienced seeing food come out of the ground. And we love sweet potatoes, but we born in the city. We buy our food at the grocery store.
Yep.
But seeing how it works, it was so exciting. And this is what our children need.
Yeah,
when you see something as miraculous as food and water coming from the ground for absolutely free, you have a whole different understanding of gratitude and realizing that the earth will feed you, the earth will give you water, the earth will give you everything you need if you just treat it right.
Yep, but you got to treat it right.
So we need to listen to our children. And then they'll understand the whole circle of life. It's the same thing. If you give people what they need, they will have joy and they will give back to you. It's the same principle. Give the earth some nurturing, some love. It gives you everything you need. Give children some nurturing, some love. They give you everything you need.
Yep.
They're full of joy. They're full of laughter. This is our future. And what was it said about the population? The age of the population in many of these African nations, the younger population, these are the ones who are going to determine the world's direction. Do we want to teach them anger and hatred and selfishness? I won't even share with you a little bit of labor to get some water out of the ground so that you can slowly dehydrate to death. I'm going to be that mean spirited. Well, what do I expect is going to come from you if that's how I treat you? You're going to be looking at how you can raise an army to come and take everything I have.
Okay.
Because I didn't care. So if this is what's happening in some countries now where they're making war against others, well, how do we treat them when they were children?
Thank you.
You reap what you sow.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you want joy in the future, we have to plant the seeds of joy today. Help with something simple, like giving fresh water. Help doing something simple. Help the farmers that are growing, and then help the children learn about farming so that they can appreciate what the earth provides, and they won't pollute it like their ancestors have done, like those coming before them that lost the understanding that we're all one system on this earth. So everything needs to be helped. Everything needs to be nurtured. Nothing needs to be forced to absorb toxins. Not people, not plants, not animals. So when we can learn these things, then we will see the land flourish. We won't see anyone starving. We won't see anyone not being able to have access to water. We won't see anyone angry and wanting to kill. When we do what's right by each other and by this wonderful earth that supports us, we'll solve all of our problems. We have the tools to solve our problems today, right now. And each of us plays a part depending on the decisions we make on how to treat each other. It's real simple. It's very simple. And we can see a change in this world in our lifetime. So just think about, how are we treating our children? What are we teaching them based on how we're treating them and how we're treating each other? So I'm sure we've got some people on the line that you got a full switchboard.
Yes,
sure
we do.
On what they've seen and heard today.
Yes. And we are live on the air on the Female Solution and the Higher Learning Network TV show. If you'd like to call in, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. Baba Kwame Sunhorse, your line is still open. I think I just got... a text from him for another link. Baba Kwame, are you there with us?
Yes, and assalamu alaikum to my sister Naima Latif.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, I sent you that just information on the youth in Africa. And this is what we're looking at, because we're looking at a global family. And Dr. Clark used to always tell us is that the African-American here in America is the key to freeing Africa.
Mm.
Because we are more educated and more knowing how this whole colonization and things work, because we were captives and have been made to endure and able to now show the youth and the ones that are coming, these generations that are coming now on the continent and here. There was a program that the Comedic Institute used to have there in Chicago and Oakwood, Northeastern University, Jake Carruthers and Conrad Worrell and Anderson Thompson, what they call is the communiversity. What they would do is the students there in Comedic Institute in Northeastern would do an exchange with the African students in a certain city, especially in Ghana. And that's the way in which they get to learn our story and the story about themselves. And we will send students there in order for them to learn about what the continent and the culture of the people. And so that way we had an exchange. And what we have now with technology, we can interact. That would be a classroom to where you Zoom a class that's being taught in South Africa to a class in Chicago on the South Side, where the students are inter-exchanging their ideas and culture and being able to connect the family, the human family together. And these are the ways in which we can use this to benefit this technology in having sister cities that go on, that they will have an exchange of knowledge, of culture. You define the people by land, history, and culture. That land is the motherland. The culture is the people of the motherland. The history of their extension is us. So what we're doing is being able to give them tools to know who they are.
Powerful. Tools so they will know. Because I love the fact you called it Baba Kwame Communiversity. See, he's a wordsmith. You need to know that. I love that. Yeah, because
I remember that. And of course, the late Dr. Conrad Worrell was a friend that I valued his knowledge and wisdom and his activism in enlightening so many people who were very ignorant, or I should say lacking in information about African history, culture, politics, and the effects of Africa on the world's history. And so it was very important that there at the Jacob Carruthers University, that people be taught in a way that helped them understand. This is not just the past, this is the present. We're looking at how present-day politics is being influenced, especially when you have all of these nations trying to figure out how they can have access to the land, to the minerals, to the oil, and how they can influence the education, because what was the quote? Whoever educates your children controls your future. So if we want a certain philosophy of life to have influence, then we have to look at who's controlling the education, especially if they're teaching a kind of selfish capitalism that causes poverty in major areas, because anywhere you're creating poverty, you're going to also at some point create war. So we have to be proactive in making those connections to our homeland, the homeland of our ancestors, so that we can share what we have learned in terms of knowledge and also the philosophy of cooperation. Because we had to go through some things to get out of the mess of slavery we were in. We had to really, we had to learn some cooperative skills. We had to learn some courage in facing oppression. And we had to learn how to overcome the very organized attempts to keep us divided and separated, whether it was a color system or separating the old from the young. I mean, we know the whole Lynch letter philosophy, and
we had to overcome a lot of that in order to organize to get to this point where we are today. I mean, we have come a long way. The whole civil rights movement, that was all of that, the black nationalist movement, all of that was about us learning how to cooperate despite the attempts to keep us divided. The field hand from the house slave and all of that, I'm better than you because I'm educated and you're lower class.
Right.
I mean, you've got some people that think like that.
Yes, a good
so
point.
We have a lot of work to do even overcoming that. I mean, we've seen it right in our present day election.
Thank you.
The classism. Oh, this person, he talks like he's not educated.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And have you achieved even a fraction of what he's achieved in life?
Mm-hmm.
Because that brainwashing it is the brainwashing. And so we have to unlearn a lot of self-destructive thoughts and ways of being in order for us to even overcome. Everybody's talking about the crime problem. Well, you know, nobody dropped in from space and made this happen. We did this. What are we doing that creates a condition where people are so divided and untrusting and fearful and angry that they're hurting each other? What do we do? What philosophy are we following? And are we following a philosophy that's really intelligent? You know, let me hoard everything I have and keep you poor and struggling so I can look down on you and feel
right.
better than you
right.
and lock you up if you try to take what I have. Is that working? No, it's not. So if we want to change what we have produced in this nation among the young people, the anger, the violence, we have to change the philosophy by which we live. And we have to begin to share. We have to reach out to those who don't have and give them access to knowledge and information and resources and allow their creativity to let them flourish and value them. And we can do that. But we can't do it following a way of life that has produced the destruction that we're living under now. And nobody, what does Reverend Jackson always say? Nobody's going to save us from us, for us, but us.
Thank you.
There are no victims. We have the power to fix it. We have to seize the power that we already have and use it because it's right in our hands.
Okay, let's go. Go ahead, Baba Kwame. I pulled up the Why Africa's Youth Hold the Key to Its Potential Development Potential. I just pulled that up. It's on the screen now. World Economic Forum.
Right, and those are tools, that's why I was saying, in that we are creating STEM, and that's science, technology, engineering, and math. And that's a tool that has been given to our oppressors that they have been using on us. But what Naima was saying in the part about crime, no, it's not so much as crime. Crime is the tool that keeps the captivity going. Because it was written in the 13th Amendment says neither slavery nor indentured servitude, except if you are duly convicted of a crime. If you create economic lack, you create the environment to create the people that are going to do what they need to do to live. And then
right.
you make a law saying that it's against the law. It's against our law to say that you can't have this or you can't be that. And those are the tools in which we have to reconstruct, because if you reconstruct that, just that 13th Amendment and that part of indentured servitude and slavery for crime, because what? You have to declare a war on crime. And you create an economic situation to where people are living in poverty and homelessness, then you create the new slave trade.
Ah, wow.
Right.
Never
That's
looked at
right.
it like that.
So it's by design. And if we want to remove the condition that creates the crime, what we always say, we have to share.
Yep.
You can't create an underclass and not expect a criminal class, because they're going to take what they need to survive. That's instinct. You're not going to sit there and let your children starve and other people have food and they won't give you access to the means of trade for the food, no access to money, no access to knowledge to earn the money, and they expect you to just suffer. That's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
So people are going to take. And we've created that condition so we can uncreate it just as easily. And then it's creating a whole different mindset. Because if people are taught that the reason why they're going to school is to compete for other people because it's limited resources and you got to take your share, that's the wrong mindset. There's enough on this earth for everybody.
Thank you.
You are here to contribute your part and to be a part of the collective body and to create what's needed and to share what you have. You're not here to have to take from anybody or hoard what you have so that other people can't get it, because no one really owns anything. We're passing through here. We're borrowing the bodies that we're in.
Thank you.
We just animate these bodies with the life force spirit that we have, and then when we're done with them, we leave. So nothing belongs to anybody anywhere on the earth. We're stewards of all that we've been allowed to use, and it's our responsibility to share with everybody else who has equal access to and rights to use anything that's here. So the philosophy of life has to be a life-giving philosophy and not one that creates anger and hostility. And there's so many wonderful things to discover about the universe, the science, the technology. There are ways to clear the air. There are ways to clean water. There are ways to produce water in areas that are desert or not able to grow food. There's so many things that we have to discover. Science should be for the purpose of enhancing life, not trying to destroy it with artificially created food that doesn't nourish the body. None of that makes sense.
I'm sorry, Naima. I need you to repeat that again. Can you please repeat what you just said? Somebody needs to hear that, not just me.
Yes. Right now we have an agricultural industry that is actually being paid to produce non-food, artificial food that does not nourish the body. How does that make any sense? It doesn't. So we have to go back to growing real food, unadulterated food, untampered with food, unpoisoned food, food that feeds us, and plant things that also help to replenish the minerals in the earth.
Can you please?
That's responsible farming. Not the techno farming that tries to figure out how to condition us to eat plastic.
Because that's what we're eating, and we just don't know it.
What you looking for? We got...
What you looking for? It ain't real. It ain't real.
So our children, they need to go to the farms and see the magic of growing food, real food, and tasting what food tastes like when it hasn't been sprayed with poison. And understanding that soil is all around you. You can grow food in a pot in your apartment.
Hello. Get a cup. I'm learning how to grow, to stop throwing my banana peels away and my avocado seeds. I grind up my avocado seeds, and I add them to my smoothie because there's power in the seeds, baby. There's so much power in the seeds that Monsanto took the right to all the seeds, so you can't have real food. You have no seeds, so need I say
and how
more?
How insane is that? How insane is that someone...
A corporation wants to buy up all the seeds.
Can you please repeat?
World starvation, world dependence on them, that's what it is.
Right. So anybody who has a world philosophy of control and power over others, that's not a philosophy that we need to be teaching our children.
No.
That's not a philosophy we need to be living by, because it creates the very condition that causes suffering.
And today, more than 60% of Africa's population, and there's the website up there. You can go to my blog and you can pick that up there too, because I put all the resources up there for the after show on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com.
Under the age of 25.
Under the age of 25. They are running things and they don't even know it. Yeah, they do. They know. They're a little bit smarter than we think they are.
Oh, yeah. And young people, I mean, they do understand that the world we're living in is changing. And so the rebellion that we see, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes you have to have the courage to rebel against what's wrong before you can get the knowledge on how to create what's right. And so they are in the rebellion stage. Many of our young people around the world, they don't want to continue what we have started because it doesn't work. It causes pain. So now we have an opportunity to assist them as they prepare to build a new world. And some of these old heads that are wanting to try to keep things as they are, well, they're on their way out.
Oh, yeah.
And so as they leave the earth, we can put our energy toward those who are coming up who will gladly grasp a new way of life that is life-producing and is harmonious and peaceful and loving and kind and compassionate and does not cause pain, because they've seen what pain looks like. And it's not fun to go to war. It's not fun to starve. It's not fun to live outdoors in the elements when it's cold outside and you don't have shelter. All the ways of life that we have been living that causes pain, well, they have a high incentive to not repeat that. And that's a good thing, because we're going to see a change. It might look like rebellion sometimes, but that's okay. Because sometimes you have to show that you have the courage to say, this is not right. And then you can learn how to create what is right.
Because it's entirely up to you. Now, you can sit, you can wait, you can sit and wait on somebody else to do something. But the question is, what are you going to do about it? This is your planet. This is your life. And you just can't sit back and wait on other people to do things. Where would we be if Harriet Tubman had waited on somebody
else? There's a whole lot of black families in Canada that their family's legacy.
Yeah.
She went back and got a whole bunch of folks and went all the way north, even crossed the border, so you can't even have people coming after you to try to capture you and bring you back.
Because they always want what's not theirs, what doesn't belong to them. Why is that? When we live in a state of confusion and fear. And that's why there's so much chaos and confusion in this world, because everybody's afraid they're not going to get theirs.
Right, that's right.
Everybody wants.
We live with a lie that there's not enough. If you ever look at a map and see the population and see the vast expanse of land that's uninhabited, there's always enough. Even with 8 billion people on the planet, there's still enough. There's enough for everybody. And there's no reason why we can't spread out. There's no reason for us to. We choose to live in these crowded cities, but like you mentioned, Maika's one of the people who left the crowded cities and going living on the land.
So
plenty
did.
Of space.
Yes, plenty
so
of.
So if we choose to be crowded up and stacked up, that's a choice, but then it doesn't mean there's not enough space. And to be afraid of a little bit of work and digging in some dirt to grow some food, well, what's the alternative?
Right.
You have to be enslaved for somebody so they pay you some money so that you go and buy some food that's really not food. So what makes sense? And, of course, yeah, everybody can't be you can take responsibility for your own survival. You can take responsibility for feeding yourself. I mean, if Mother Earth gives you everything you need for absolutely free, the least you can do is give Mother Earth a little bit of nurturing so that she can give it to you. That doesn't take it a whole lot. And it's a lot easier in the long run than being stressed out every day, worrying if you're going to get fired and you don't have enough money to buy food. And then somebody gets the bright idea, well, let me go and rob somebody. And then you end up in jail and you end up back in slavery, because that's what that jail system is. It's designed for people who get afraid that they can't make it any other way than to do something illegal, and they end up back in.
And I don't know what it's going to take for us to get beyond, excuse me, seeing what's right in front of us, but to get quiet and listen and go within. Turn this off. You don't only do it for a few minutes a day. Turn it off and listen on the inside. Because this is where the answers to all our issues are. Baba Kwame, go ahead.
Yeah, and I just sent you, you know, there's a page that gives you the count of the population as it goes in the continent right now. Every 7 seconds here on Turtle Island, there's a child being born. And for this day, there will be 12,300 children born to this Turtle Island population. What are we doing right now as the grandparents and the elders of those children coming on to the earth here is what we need to be focused on. Solutions. Are we going to create a better country for them to be connected to and to grow in? Or are we going to keep recycling the pain and hurt and destruction that we are putting our children through? Because what's the old saying? Hurt people hurt people. And
yes,
what
sir.
We have to begin to do is, the solution is, help. What the young people created was hip-hop. And hip-hop is stands for highly intelligent people helping other people, is what the youth created in their, what they call hip-hop music. That was their way of the language of them communicating with each other, and how their intelligence, seeing the world as they saw it, and then being able to put a beat and a rhythm with the words of what they saw.
Absolutely. And we need to respect that intelligence that they have, because they do have it. They are here to create a different kind of world. And you look at all the statistics we get every day on the news, which is so sad. Oh, these many people died, these many people are sick, these many people are suffering. But what about all the new births? And that's the good news. Every new soul that's coming onto the planet is a new opportunity, a new mind, a new heart, a new vision. So, like you say, what are we doing to prepare them for this great mission that they have, to create this wonderful new earth that we have the power to create? There are many more people being born than are leaving. And what if the news gave us the good news of the new birth?
Wow.
Instead of us being sad and distressed, oh, I just heard another person got shot. Oh, I heard another person got dead, or another person died from COVID. Oh, you know, the world's coming to an end, everybody's dying. No. How about for every one person that dies, there's another 20 being born.
Right.
So, we're here just for a moment anyway, to do whatever we're going to do to contribute to the whole, and then we make our exit. But what about the ones coming into this world? That's the good news. So, on air, we're going to start reporting the births. We're going to start reporting the births. Okay, this city had these many births. This city had these many births. So we can see that there's good news and a good beginning. beginning and a new opportunity being born every single day, more than those who are leaving. The good news is those who are coming and the potential, the unlimited potential that they have. So somebody's story is ending. Someone else's story is just beginning.
And that's why we have everywhere. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Baba Kwame.
Okay. And Naima, I think that's an excellent idea of being able to give account as to what the creator is creating. There's a book by Steve Phillips. It's called Brown, the New White. And that's why I gave you those statistics from, is that that's in his book. And what he also shares is the part that you're saying correctly, that those that are dying, because we are people of color, are 7,000 to 1,000, because there are 6,000 of European, non-melanated people, but there's 5,000 of them dying every day. We have 6,000 of us being born every day, but we only lose maybe 1,000. Less than 1,000. But what he shows in that book is that we're 7,000 to their 1,000 of people of color, and that's what he means by brown is the new white.
Ah, okay. How powerful is that? I'm putting
and I'll send you, the information on his book. But, yeah,
okay.
And he's got excellent YouTubes where he's talking about statistics, because, that's the way in which we have to understand, is that through all that we have been through, even when they did the UNESCO report in 1975 in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, about the slave trade, do you know that statistically all the countries that were in the trade say that they lost over 210 million people in their actions of doing the slave trade.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot of people.
Right.
That's a lot of communities.
There are a lot of people that were involved in it. There are a lot of people who were affected by it negatively. There are a lot of people who profited from it. That's why it lasted as long as it did. It's like drug trafficking. You can condemn people for doing it, but then if under the table you're also profiting, you're really not trying to stop it.
Nah.
And that's why a change of mind has to happen, so that you're choosing not to profit off of the pain of others in any fashion. You have people who are profiting off of, the prison industry. And it doesn't have to be that way, but when you have lawyers and judges and bailiffs, you have all the employee structure around it, and then you've got the prison guards, and you've got the clerical workers, and then you have all the suppliers of materials. You've got people, the food suppliers and the laundry suppliers, everything from the clothing and all of the services that people contract for that industry. When you build a structure that has so many places, and so many people benefit from it, it takes a lot to redirect it or to even dismantle it, because so many people benefit from it. Yes, slavery was bad, but you had so many benefiting from the slave labor in the South, the products that were coming out of the South, the whole cotton industry, the clothing industry. All the northern stores that sold the clothing made by the southern cotton and every other thing, the tobacco industry, the sugar industry, we know that the United States, if nothing else, has created a sugar addiction in everybody. And the sugar cane plantations were some of the most brutal, and yet what they produced and all of the ways that people profited from the slave labor and the products from the slave labor, it was really difficult to let that system go,
mm-hmm.
which is why they maintained it through the prison.
Right.
So if we really want slavery to end, we have to dismantle all of the ways that other entities profit from it. They're organize your society and not have to have it highly based on an underclass of people that be in prison to use for cheap labor. Last night, Beata was telling us about how you don't see any police.
Isn't there something? No police.
All over the place. You can have a society that doesn't exist, and everybody can still flourish. You don't landscape.
Is that, are those birds we hear in the background, Baba Kwame? Do you hear those birds?
Yeah, I thought I'm on the porch, and that's the birds out here singing in the morning.
I love it. The birds are talking to us, too.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. Oh, well, see, when you see, that's what happens when you get, when you go out in nature and you absorb nature, you will get to a point where you hear little things that you wouldn't ordinarily hear. You hear the birds. When you stick your feet in the ground, in the dirt, Mama AZ, thank you so much for that, for putting your whole body on the, in the dirt. I'm still working on that one. Because it's cold here in Chicago. But after I hear that, draw all the impurities in your body, because the earth has all the minerals that they've taken out of the food. So you got to get some earth in you, or you will wind up in a situation you want to be in, you don't want to be in, longer than you want to be there. So
absolutely, yes. So for those who are watching us on Facebook and YouTube on the higherlearningnetwork.org, you can see the various news stories that we've highlighted on the On Air Network at www.onaireverywhere.com. And we've been reporting on the political scene with the candidates and the election and the culture. Of course, we've had a chance to be up close and personal with many of the candidates that are running and those who recently won in the last election for national offices, and our sister Brittany Griner, who was finally released from Russian prison, and we know that the whole politics behind that. Russia was trying to make the United States let go of one of its prisoners, and so they were holding her basically as a bargaining chip.
Did they ever let him go? I didn't follow up on that. Did they ever let him go? Was there an even exchange, or they just let her go? How did that work?
No, there was an exchange.
There was.
And there's another person that the United States was trying to get free, but that person is still there. So, I mean, this chess game between the nations, people should be aware of what is happening on levels that really don't affect their daily lives, but they can easily be used as pawns if they're not aware.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're traveling internationally, be aware of the relationship between your nation and the nation
that you're going to see.
Going.
Like Beata said last night, if you go into a Spanish country, especially like Costa Rica, you better know some Spanish. Or you'll pay three times the amount, something $1.50, and you'll pay $6 for it.
Because you don't know
you don't understand the language.
You don't know numbers in Spanish. And really, the American people, our responsibility is to be as adept as everybody else. Everybody else in the world is teaching their children many languages because they realize we are one village now. You can travel anywhere in the world in a matter of hours. So you can't be isolated and just knowing your language. That's why my daughter spent 5 years in South Korea teaching English. And not only do those students learn English, they also learn Chinese. So they're learning many languages and starting out in kindergarten because they're already being programmed to see themselves as world citizens. We should be doing the same. Our children should be multilingual, not get mad because other people can't speak English or speak it with an accent. We should be learning every language that's spoken here. Yeah, we should be knowing Polish. We got a large Polish population.
Dobry day.
Yes. Dzień dobry. Yes, we should be learning all of these languages. And I'm going to tell you, and I've seen Dr. Willie Wilson going to all these different ethnic communities. I don't know if other candidates are doing that, but they'll be surprised, and they'll say, wait a minute, where all the Pauls come from? Because he went to all different ethnic communities.
Mm-hmm. All 77.
Yes. So we have to understand. It's a sign of respect when you see people and you recognize, yes, you're coming from a different language, different culture. I respect who you are enough to talk to you and listen to you. So we should be learning, yes, we got Chinatown. We should be knowing Chinese.
Yes, we should.
We should be knowing all of the languages that are spoken where we live.
And we got Mama Zoe. We got Zoe Ma coming next month to tell us about learning Chinese. Actually, she's going to help us. She's not even going to tell us. She's going to help us.
That's right. Yes.
So
if we want our children to excel in the future, we have to help them see themselves as part of a world community and to be able to function in that world community, be able to travel anywhere in the world and talk to the people in their language. Because that's the greatest sign of respect. And then people know that you see them. And then they'll see you as a human being as well.
And they respect you for trying to at least speak the language. They may laugh at you. They may smile. They may shake their head at you. But they respect you because you took the time to try to say hello and goodbye in their language. Or order a drink of water or whatever.
Yes.
And speak.
It matters.
Everything matters. And speaking of water, if you got up this morning and you were able to go to the bathroom and flush the toilet, look at how blessed you are. If you got up this morning and you could go to the sink and get a glass of water, look how blessed you are. You didn't have to walk 30 minutes in one direction, 30 minutes in, back in another direction and carry a bucket of water on your head just for the morning's water, not the evening, just for the morning. You don't know how blessed you are. That's why I ask you to do what you can to help those who cannot bathe and water themselves. This is our Instagram page, instagram.com/hln.homeless.project. This is what they need right here. Butane. And you see I'm always in the store talking about
it. Just remember, it's never enough. That's why we keep coming back. So thank you for your donations, tax deductible, at higherlearningnetwork.org. And of course, they're going to check my receipt, so I got to put my phone down. See y'all in a minute.
All righty. So
okay, y'all,
you
have two cases.
This will
keep them warm.
Go to our Instagram page, and you will see that. Yes, go ahead, Baba Kwame, son horse. Go ahead.
Yes, and Naima was talking about the prison industrial complex, and I just sent you one of the largest businesses that's going. It's a billion-dollar business. It does not pay any taxes. It's what's called Unicor, the federal prisons, and I sent you their catalog. They make everything from electronic wiring missiles to armored vehicles inside of these prisons, and the labor force that they're using are the people that have been sentenced by the government into their system. And so what we're looking at is this industry that still exists, is what I was sharing. But yes, we need to, you know, we've got GoFundMe pages, and we can, you all can put on that and saying GoFundMe for digging these wells. And what has to be able to do is that we are the key to helping them. So if you had sister cities, Chicago, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Miami. You have these cities that are major cities, because I have a sister that's moving back to Senegal that's in Texas, and her sister-in-law is the mayor of one of the cities in Senegal, and she's looking for a sister city in America to connect with in order to have a connection, and saying that we are part of Chicago, Senegal is our sister city, and that begins a network of exchange, of economic exchange.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for sharing that information. Yeah, because slavery is not dead. It never died. It just transformed into another vehicle. And I'm going. All that information will be available on my blog. Some of it's on there now, but a lot of it's on there right now. You can just go to my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com, and you will see the information there. I need you to share that information with everyone that you know, because each one teach one. And it is 9:59. I'm a little late. Wow, we got...
We got everybody that's on the switchboard, right? No, we did not.
We got a 773-450. You got about 30 seconds because we're off the air. 773-450? Unmute yourself, 773-450. Okay, gotta go. I'm sorry, say that again. Oh, Blog Talk just cut everybody off, Naima.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, they give us a whole extra hour.